Hello, Internet, and welcome to another episode of All My Issues. In this episode, episode 51, we talk about Avengers Infinity War. Oh, yes. I'm not going to go on too much about it because we talk about it for quite some time and we get into a lot of good discussions and a lot of depth. So, without further ado, let's go ahead and get started. So is Infinity War.
Yeah.
The whole thing. The whole movie's a battlefield. All right, I guess we're just kind of talking and we're going to go right into it.
You want to test? Can you hear me? Test, mic check.
Mic check. It's picking up. So I think we're good. Yeah.
Are all three picking me up?
I think all three. We got C bars. I see bars here, there.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we're good. I think we're in good shape.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess we'll get started.
All right, let's go.
All right. Hello, Internet. I'm Rick.
I'm Sam.
I'm Chris.
And today, we are going to talk about Infinity War.
Marvel's Avengers Infinity War.
How can a movie be successful that has that many superheroes in it?
Right.
Honestly. So many characters, so many subplots. So much awesome.
Has anyone ever did that before?
I don't know.
Have all those superheroes in one movie and yeah.
Successfully juggled plot. And I think DC did it one.
So we had a movie that had a whole bunch of superheroes and they tried and was it not successful? Are we saying that this one was successful?
It's almost as if you give a movie 10 years of backstory and individual character development rather than much introducing the characters in the first team up. That you'll be more successful.
Well, you know what? Here's going to be a rarity, me coming to the defense of the DC universe. As far as that particular part, I don't think it was like too bad because they can probably go on and like explain some of the other characters' backstories. I think the predecessors of the two movies beforehand are the ones that set the tone for the Justice League.
Well, yeah, I don't disagree with you, but there's no emotional stakes tying me to Aquaman. He's a guy that was barely seen in passing.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no, I saw a Flash symbol or something in Batman versus Superman. And Cyborg, I like Teen Titans Go, but for the average moviegoer, those characters don't have the backstories that Batman and Superman do and Wonder Woman. And those are the only three that got,
I mean, we have like 18 movies worth of, like building.
Because if you really looked at Infinity War, if you had not watched a single Marvel movie prior to this, you would understand everything that was going on. I don't think you would have the emotional investment in the characters that everybody else who goes to see movies on a regular basis, I'm sure, has seen most of those movies.
I think even if you didn't see the other movies, I think Infinity War would still be a better movie than Justice League, though.
I don't hate Justice League either.
I'm disappointed in Justice League, is what it is, because I think it could be so much better.
It's like our child. I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed.
Exactly.
That could be a residual effect of the previous movies, or it could be you're just, feel that way about Justice League.
Let's just be clear. Of the three of us, I didn't hate Batman versus Superman. I liked Superman, Man of Steel. So it's not a precursor of the other movies, other than, you know, the things we've talked about to death.
I liked Man of Steel better than I liked BVS.
No. Yeah.
No?
No.
Well,
no.
I did too, but I didn't.
No.
Really?
Neither one of them.
Neither one of them?
Neither one of them did nothing
for me. They're both steaming piles of...
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to go out and say they're awesome movies, but I didn't hate them. And yeah. Everybody else seems to hate them. Yeah.
I don't really hate them either. Again, it's the same thing where I'm disappointed. I mean, and there's just certain things that just seem so uncharacteristic about it. I know we've talked about those movies before and everything. And this podcast is not, this episode is not supposed to be about.
Meanwhile.
Yeah, about.
In a universe that is way better in story plots.
Yes. And structured and intertwined.
Yes.
I guess we should probably preface this whole thing with
all the spoilers.
All the spoilers.
Spoiler.
Yeah. So,
and pretty much this whole thing. Like, there's there's never going to be non-spoiler.
Yeah.
From this point on, if you have not seen it yet, one, why haven't you not seen it yet? And two, you may want to listen to this after you see it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because we're gonna spoil the crap out of it.
If there's some, like, you know, if you're in a coma or something,
Batman's parents die. Look,
oh I'm man, yeah. If you have like a legitimate excuse, like you're in a coma or something, maybe we'll let that one slide. But still,
why would they be listening to this if they were in a coma?
That's true. I don't know. Like sometimes they have those things in TV shows where somebody's in a coma and they can speak to them while they're in a coma and bring them back. So maybe they can listen to this and we'll bring them back to watch Infinity War.
There you go.
Yeah. Come back to our voices. Don't go in the light.
Yes, don't go into the light.
Carol Ann.
Yes.
Classic.
All right, so I guess we should probably get started with our discussion about the whole Infinity War.
Yep.
I guess we'll just, I think we should just go from it from the beginning all the way through.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, that seems like, because there's so much that happens.
There
and
is.
I don't want to miss
and
anything.
And it doesn't stop happening.
That's the thing that floored me about it, too, was it was, you know, it's a long movie, but never.
It never stops.
It never stops.
The word I used to describe it was relentless.
Yes, that is a very good. And it didn't feel like I spent, 2 hours and 40 minutes?
Yeah, 2 hours and 40 minutes.
It did not feel like I was in a theater that long. No. It just went by like that.
Both times I saw it, it went fast.
Yeah. And I'm still jealous of you that you saw it two times.
The second time we was coming into the end game, and I was thinking to myself, man, there is only like a half hour left. You know, I knew where we were in the thing. It's like, this has gone quick.
Yeah, that's
crazy. I was worried because sometimes, you know,
the second time you're
waiting for the next cool thing to happen.
It's filled with cool things. Yeah.
So
like right from the beginning.
Distress signal.
Yes, and before even the title screen,
right,
all the craziness happens. I mean, it sets the tone for the whole movie. I think you see Thanos, you see how big of a badass he is.
Well, that distress signal, by the way, right at the beginning, was voiced by the director of the first Thor movie.
Was it really?
Kenneth Branagh, yeah.
No way.
I just read that today.
That's awesome. That is an awesome throwback.
Oh, I honestly thought that was the Rock guy from Ragnarok sending the distress signal. I didn't even know that.
Huh.
Look at that.
I mean, it wasn't like I heard his voice and recognized it. I read about it. So,
there
you go. But like, so like all before the title screen comes up, we lose Loki.
The beginning of this movie is the end of another movie.
Yes.
Like,
yes. Yeah.
It's where the hero would come up and save the day at the end is the beginning of this movie.
That is true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's such a tonal difference from the end of Thor Ragnarok. It's kind of on a, you know, that movie's kind of lighthearted.
Yeah.
This one, holy crap, all the Asgardians are dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like.
The thing of it is, this is quite possibly might be my only complaint about the movie that I can think of, is it seems as if they kill everybody. They should destroy the ship.
Yeah.
I have no idea what's going on. But then later on, Thor says he killed half my people.
Oh, does he say that?
When he's with the Guardians.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe something.
Or Rocket. I don't remember which thing.
Oh. So, Rocket.
I don't know if don't know if there's another ship or maybe. Or what.
Yeah, because I was you've been wondering, because they didn't show anything that they didn't show Valkyrie.
Yeah.
So I was kind of wondering, did she die?
Yeah.
You know, I was under the assumption that they all died. But okay, half his people. Okay,
they didn't show Korg, did they?
No, they didn't. I didn't see Korg either. So,
but I was trying to remember at the end of Ragnarok, did Valkyrie have her own ship?
See, I thought they were all on the same ship.
I don't remember.
I thought so too, but maybe. I thought, did she like leave just before that big ship came, or maybe she like got out, her and Korg and everybody else got out while Thor was fighting Thanos or something like that. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. That is pretty crazy.
I'm sorry. I just got so distracted by Dolph Lundgren staring at me from behind Sam.
Yes.
I was as the Punisher, no less, not even Drago. I was like, it's just directly over his shoulder that I got.
I know that thing exists. Isn't that amazing that that exists?
Yes.
And what's even more amazing, I own that.
Yeah. All right.
back to Infinity War. Also, just the thing too, I think, like Hulk being in the beginning and just like literally getting his ass handed to him by Thanos.
Yeah, that's a great way to set up how truly powerful Thanos is.
Exactly. It's, I mean, and arguably the most powerful.
There character. Are so many callbacks in this movie, and then with Loki saying we have the Hulk.
Yes.
Same way that Iron Man said it to him in the first Avengers, and Loki really turning around and being the good guy.
Exactly. Yeah. That story arc with Loki, I think just the way his character even developed, it makes his character so interesting, I think, because, you know, if he was the same character like in the first Avengers and Thanos were to kill him at the end of that movie, mm-hmm. we wouldn't have really cared.
Right.
You know, but this, you know, we've seen him kind of develop, seen him get a little bit, you know, get a little bit good kind of, then kind of go
revert still back. Stayed mischief, you know, mischievous. But then by the end of Ragnarok, really. Thor kind of talking to him and you can see him thinking about things. And
exactly.
Still,
they had that.
Stole the Tesseract.
Yeah.
Well, or he protected from being destroyed. There are different ways to look at it. We don't know what he was going to do with it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think they, I think the Russo brothers really captured the relationship that Thor and Loki have, even like in the comics. I mean, they're brothers, but yeah, they're like enemies, but Thor never hated his brother. Mm-hmm. It was never of hate. It was more of, dude, you're like the worst brother ever.
Right. Yeah, because I watched Thor Ragnarok, a few weeks back, just to kind of get caught right back up to where it left off at. And there's that moment in that movie where Thor and Loki are talking in that elevator when they're getting ready to try to escape. And mm-hmm. they do that help me trick. Where he says, you know, Thor says to Loki, he's like, I loved you. I thought you were, you know, the greatest, you know, I thought we would fight side by side together forever. Right. And that, like Chris is saying, I think that's like almost like the moment where Loki's kind of like, oh, maybe.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be jealous of you when really you were kind of envious of me the whole time, you know, kind of
right.
type thing. So yeah, it's. But yeah, I thought, and I think Russo Brothers captured that perfectly, and it made his death at the beginning there just all the more impactful, I think, and just really set the tone for the whole movie. You're like, oh.
But the crazy thing is, it's like, the only thing that I kind of was kind of like a little, not upset, but was just, Loki has done so many sleight of hands, where the sleight of hand that he did to Thanos was like, dude, like, everybody's seen that coming. Like, Even if I was on the ship, I'm like, everyone kind of seen that kind of coming because like Thanos was like, yeah, dude, I seen that coming like a mile away.
That's true. He has pulled better tricks. I mean, do we think we've seen the last of Loki?
Probably for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, in comic books, no one stays dead forever. And I mean, he could still be alive somehow. I just don't think it's very...
I'm just kind of... After rewatching Thor Ragnarok 2, I'm just kind of wondering if they're going to kind of do a little bit of what, like what Straczynski did in that Thor run, where kind of like after Ragnarok in the comic book, things kind of rebooted, and then Asgard became like a place on Earth.
Yeah.
Because when Odin was in Norway, I think at the in Ragnarok, he's like, and he just kind of said that Asgard is not a place, it's a people. And then just kind of makes me think, oh, maybe they're going to kind of bring it there. And kind of in that storyline, too, they brought they Loki could. Back, and Loki was like a female Loki at that time.
They might not so I don't know. Do any of this, though.
They might not either. I mean,
only true. Because they might not have to. Stage four is hush-hush right now.
Yeah.
So I think they're waiting until you see the end of the next one before they really announce it, stage four. And by that time, they'll have the other deal finalized and they'll know what characters they have to play with.
Yeah. I'm just kind of wondering at this point, you know, they were saying that the next movie's title is a spoiler. I wonder what the title is. I'm thinking New Avengers, maybe? That's something possible. Like that, you know?
Those that remain.
Those that remain, yeah.
Ashes to ashes.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know.
Or Infinity Crusade.
Infinity Crusade, yeah, we could have done that. That was the weakest of the Infinity stories that I thought. Yeah.
So, I'm really bad with their names. Is it Ebony Maw? Is that the Black Order guy?
Oh, yeah. I'm bad with their names, too. Yeah.
I love...
The skinny guy, right?
Yeah. I loved him. Yeah, I just really did.
He was really good. Squidward.
Squidward. That's the way I want to... Like, anytime I have to deliver bad news from now on, I'm going to rejoice.
Yes, rejoice. Yeah, it's That's pretty awesome. But then, like, after that whole scene on Thor's ship, with Heimdall, right before he dies, even. I can't believe we lost Heimdall, too. That's crazy. He sent Hulk to Earth and crash lands into... The Sanctum Sanctorum.
Taking the place of Silver Surfer from the comics.
Yes, yeah, that's right. And, that kind of bringing Doctor Strange in with the Hulk and, you know, and Tony shows up there as well.
Which he's engaged to getting married.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And wants a kid.
Yeah.
Named after his crazy cousin Morgan.
Yeah.
Who I think has a suit of his own in the comics. That's like brass or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's
like he's like a failure to being a supervillain, but he's a.
I was thinking maybe they were doing that too. Where I thought for sure that he was.
I think they were setting it up to make you feel like, hey, this person's gonna die.
Yeah, and I
just like The Walking Dead.
Yeah. That's. I mean, it kind of like, as far as our predictions go, I think. We're nowhere near right.
It was funny how we could be so right about things and yet so wrong.
Yeah, right.
We were busy arguing, was it going to be Captain America or was it going to be Iron Man?
Yeah.
And it was neither.
Yes, yeah. It was everybody else that we didn't think it was going to be. Which I think obviously I'm thinking they probably did that on purpose. And I think it's probably a brilliant move by the Russo brothers. Because,
So the ship arrives.
Oh, yes.
For the time stone.
Yes. So fast. Barely
get some.
Yep.
I do also like Doctor Strange leaning on the Cauldron of Chaos or whatever.
Oh, Iron Man. Or Tony leaning on it. Yeah. Yes.
Stretching out on that. there's a lot of good interplay between Doctor Strange
and Tony. Tony Stark. Yeah, it was... The cast, you know, those we've known that Tony was casted well from the beginning, and Doctor Strange, it was cast well, I think, with Benedict Cumberbatch too. But to actually see those two come together, I mean, it really felt like.
And they had to get Stan Lee's cameo out of the way early because there was no place else where he could be where he would not.
That's true.
Completely take you out of the movie.
I was thinking maybe he'd pop up as like one of the Watchers or something like that, do one of those type of deals, but. But no, they got him out of the way pretty early. Yeah.
the distract right before the or right after the distraction.
Yeah, yeah.
We're all gonna die.
Yeah, 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 that was awesome. Yeah, yeah, and even with the, I didn't expect Spider-Man and Iron Man to be in space like that quickly either. I thought that was something that was gonna happen later. I honestly didn't know if very much of it was gonna take place in space, whereas like literally half of it probably was in space. I was thinking maybe since this was going to be a two-parter type deal, maybe the first part takes place on Earth and the second part takes place on in space. That didn't happen.
Nope.
That, obviously, after because we saw it. So.
Yeah, because well, the rest of, most of the Infinity Stones were in space, so it's kind of like...
Yeah, yeah.
That's where the Guardians came in.
The only thing we didn't get to see is we didn't get to see Thanos get the Power Stone. You know,
yeah, they just mentioned him.
Yeah,
passing.
Yeah. So I kind of would have liked to have seen that, but I don't know. Maybe that would have slowed the pace.
I would assume half the planet's dead.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Yeah, I guess that's, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All of the Nova Corps. So, yeah. But, yes, so they went to space.
Spider-Man got his... his iron suit.
Oh yeah, the Iron Spider suit.
Which is
cool. And when the legs came out, I didn't think there was a chance they were gonna give him the legs. Full spider Iron Spider looking suit. And they did.
Yeah.
I mean, it was different colors, but
And it worked well though, too. I was like, I wasn't sure how that would translate, but
strangely intuitive.
Well. Yes. Yes, strangely intuitive. Yes, very much so.
All right. Did anyone else feel old when Spider-Man mentioned the old movie?
The really old one.
Yeah,
well, he said the same thing about The Empire Strikes Back. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Little snot-nosed brat kid.
Right, right.
Yeah. Like seriously, dude, come on.
The pop culture references. It's awesome. I like that interaction between Spider-Man and Star-Lord when he's like, "Is Footloose still the greatest movie ever?"
It never was.
It never was.
There was some really great interactions. All throughout, but yeah, we'll get there.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah. So I think what basically happens after that, after they go into space, you know, it kind of transitions and it goes back to Earth and
Vision,
Scarlet Witch. Yeah. Yeah. And it's nice to see those two together and they're really trying to build that connection that they have in the comic books and, but go ahead, Sam. You look like you have thoughts and things you need to say.
It is still creepy.
It is still creepy. It always has been a little bit creepy.
I was like, even watching it on the big screen, I was like, this is still creepy and no one else is saying anything about this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we don't know how far it went.
Dude,
they never got out of that.
Yeah, that's true. They did say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. You're right.
It's not like it's the reality stone where he can make Vision, like, you know, be anything. I mean, yeah, it is still creepy.
I'm not as creeped out by this.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I mean, I'm not. I just could because I was conditioned because I was in, I liked the Vision Scarlet Witch miniseries when I was...
Right.
10.
Yeah. I've always liked the Vision as a character.
I like the Vision too. And, you know, but I always thought it was just creepy. I'm like, he's a robot.
It's for me, it was less creepy than Data and Tasha Yar.
Yeah. Cause Data seems so much
because more Data robotic. Was so much more robotic.
Yeah.
Whereas Vision has been, you know, is a mixture, at least in the MCU, is a mixture of different beings and personalities and to become his own individual.
And maybe it's a difference between like a blow up doll and one of those real dolls.
Hey.
I don't know. Yeah.
Hey, I'm not, you know, like I said, I'm not hating. I'm just, hey, if that's what you want to do, go do you, boo. But yeah, I was just like, wow, that's still creepy. I get it.
The one thing I was, you know, to get past that. The one thing I was surprised with was how it seemed like they kind of toned down Vision's powers a lot in this movie. Like the phasing didn't work anymore with the weapons that they had. Because, I mean, before that, I mean, he was probably one of the most powerful Avengers.
Sure.
You know?
Do you think, due to, you know, his newfound humanity, that he's kind of lost a step more likely? He's acting more human than...
I can retcon anything. Like, I would just retcon. They attacked by surprise and stabbed him through. Maybe they hit the thing that helps him phase.
That could be... There you go.
Because I think that was the whole thing that they were trying to explain to the movie. And
the stone wanted to be with the others, so it stopped him from phasing.
I think they just surprised him. I think he's just more human.
They seem like they kept surprising
him. Yeah, like I said, I think he's just been more human. And instead of...
But he did make the comment, though, that he couldn't phase. This phasing wasn't working against their weapons, though. Does he say that?
I'm pretty sure. Maybe they just have special weapons.
Yeah.
Maybe space
weapons.
If they knew who they were fighting, they were prepared.
That could be too. Yeah. I don't know.
Clearly, they knew right where to go.
That is true. That is true. Yeah. And then
I'm like Iron Man.
Can't even find him. Where is he at in space?
If we're gonna start nitpicking, how about this? How about the fact that? So,
I'm not really nitpicking.
No, I am about to though.
Oh, okay.
So how about the fact that Tony is out for a jog with Pepper?
Yes.
In the park, gets picked up by Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange and Banner basically tell him, you know, we need to protect the Vision at all costs. It's like, the problem is I don't know where he is. Well, who can find him? Captain America. So you're telling me that Tony Stark has kept that phone in his pocket even when he's out for a jog?
For
the last 6 years.
Just in case. Four years or whatever it's been. Yeah, I thought that was... And not only that, but like, Tony Stark has all the technology. He can't find Vision. And why would Captain America be able to find Vision?
Well, it was kind of implied that they were in contact.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay, I can see that.
Because they say in the theater, it says, what was it? You know, you were supposed to lay low, not cause any trouble.
Mm. That's right. They do say that. Yeah. Yeah.
Help seeing it a second time.
Yeah, it does. See, you're getting all these nuances that from the first viewing.
But let's get to the good part.
Okay.
Because this is the good part after this fight. First off, I really also liked Proxima Midnight. The Black Order, the girl.
Oh, yes.
I thought she did a good job.
Yeah, I thought she did a good job too. Yeah. Yeah, that was awesome.
Those two stuck out for me.
Yeah, those were, yeah.
Thor and the Guardians of the Galaxy, which might have had some of the funniest lines.
Yeah,
well, the much needed
one sandwich away from being fat. I thought that was hilarious. I laughed for so long, and I hadn't been thinking over that.
This is not a dude. This is a man.
Yes,
you are a dude.
Yes, you are a dude. This is a man.
It's like an angel had a baby with a pirate. Drax stole everything he was in.
He did.
Later on, when you, how long have you been standing there? An hour.
If I stand completely motionless, I may become invisible.
And then he just takes a big bite of the thing.
I'm moving so slowly.
So he can even perceive the movement. Yeah, I can.
Oh man,
there was some good stuff in there.
That is, yeah, oh yeah.
And then when Chris Pratt starts using Thor's voice,
yes, yeah, yeah,
but denying.
Oh, it's so good, so good. It makes me wonder if, you know, after, you know, with the events of what happened at the end, if maybe there'll be a Guardians of the Galaxy with Thor. Maybe I would like to see that. I would like to see a movie with those guys together, because they're all kind of.
Like together, like he's the new love interest since Gamora's gone.
Yes.
Wow. Oh.
That would be a whole other. Yes, but no, I thought I the interactions that those guys had. I just wanted to see more of that because I thought
that was funny,
amazing, awesome.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah.
Rocket, Quill, what are you doing? Why are you sounding like that?
I always sound like this.
Oh, and Thor calling Rocket the
rabbit. Rabbit.
Hello, rabbit.
Hello, rabbit.
Thor always saying the wrong thing, but in the best possible way, where Rocket's like, we've got us who want to go there, and we've got an overabundance of morons who can go to him. Best wishes, morons. You know?
Yes. Yeah, I was just going to say that to you.
Yeah.
Best wishes, morons. Oh, man, that's so good.
So Thor goes on a mission for a weapon.
Yes.
To kill Thanos. And the Guardians go on a mission to stop Thanos from getting the Reality Stone.
Yes. Yes.
Right, so which one we're going to talk about first?
Let's talk Reality Stone, because I think that's the one they show first.
That sounds right. That sounds right to me. You know, because you've seen it two times. But I really thought what was going to end up happening was, as soon as Drax saw Thanos, that it was going to be over for him.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like they were going to do that, mm-hmm. but then Mantis comes in and stops him. So
alerting.
Yeah.
I also like the Earth Universal holding up of the hand for everyone to hold position.
Yeah.
And nobody else knows this. Yeah. And just keeps walking.
Yes. Oh man, yeah, that's so good. And such good usage of like the Reality Stone too, I thought.
And it's the first time they started to humanize Thanos.
Yes.
Where you saw that he's not just a horrible bad guy. He actually has a reason that he's doing the things he's doing, even if it might be misguided.
Yeah, added so much depth to that character.
And that he actually, it's the first inkling that he might actually care about Gamora.
Yeah.
And that he watched to see if she had cared about him at all.
Yeah.
So, I'll just take this opportunity. Or when I first saw inklings of Brolin as Thanos, I wasn't necessarily overly impressed, and it was my biggest thing. I thought he did an amazing job.
I did too. I was concerned about him being Thanos, not so much because I think he's a good actor.
I think he's a good actor. It just didn't seem like a right role for him.
Right, exactly. That's what I was kind of thinking too. And then also Thanos being like so much CGI, I was just like, how's that going to translate? Is that going to be good? I thought it was perfect.
Yeah, I
thought it was done so well. Because, I mean, not to bash on Justice League, but when we saw, what's the big bad?
Steppenwolf.
Steppenwolf. Yeah. I mean, horrible kind of CGI, sort of. You know what I mean? It just didn't have any depth to it. It just, Steppenwolf didn't seem real in any way. And not only that, but like, he was such a generic kind of villain for that. He, you know, and that whole storyline in Justice League, it's like the bad guy wants the thing. And that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
You know, and let's not let him get the thing. You know?
Well, yeah.
Whereas this with Thanos, it's so much more complex.
It's complex, and you've got a villain who at his very nature is being the opposite of the heroes thematically.
Yeah.
Thematically, the heroes is... Thanos is what are you willing to sacrifice in order to get what you need or to save the things you want to save? And the heroes over and over again are, we are not willing to sacrifice. We're not going to negotiate. Vision's life is more important than the hundreds and thousands of Wakandans who are, that they're trying to stop them from killing one android. We're not going to sacrifice a single man. Whereas Thanos is, let's sacrifice 50% of everyone and save everything. So it's nice to see where thematically, because oftentimes the bad guy is just the bad guy and the good guys are just the good guys for the sake of being good.
And that's probably the one difference, I think, that's a kind of a profound difference in a way from the comic book. Cause in the comic book, it's more or less like
he wants to court death. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think the rationale that they gave for him in this movie is a lot better.
Yeah.
You know, and it adds more weight to his character.
Sure.
You know.
And I'm sure it could be argued that once you have the Infinity Gauntlet, couldn't you just
make more food. Yeah, I kind of thought that too, but I'm like, yeah, okay, well.
But that's not the answer he's come up with.
Yeah, no, I think he's more not just food, but all the resources and everything else that comes with more people, more beings in the universe.
So then the next question I have is, was it like, did he break it up by species? Like, was it 50% of, like, for example, there's hundreds of billions of insects on Earth. Was it 50% of all living things, or hey, 50% of all ants?
Go.
Yeah.
I would think it's probably all living things. I'm thinking.
So,
right?
So, but statistically then, it'd be more than half the people would probably go, right?
Oh, you mean to kind of balance it out for everything? Like,
I mean, if you're getting rid of 50% of everybody and 50,000, you know, there's 7 billion, you know, humans and 150 billion ants,
and you're trying to split them up.
So, yeah.
I think it was.
I'm not good at statistics, though. So
I think it's more like probably this species, half of this. That's how I thought of it. Anyways.
Okay.
So, I mean, I don't
see. I just thought of it as,
or was it just sentient life?
I thought it was just sentient life.
Because things that throw things out of balance.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We'll just go with that. That's how he did it.
You know what I would do if I had the Infinity Gauntlet? 100% of mosquitoes.
Right. Get rid of those fuckers. especially
where we live.
Yeah, that's true. The So basically during that whole sequence, Thanos already got the Reality Stone.
Yes,
very early.
He was fooling them. For a second, I thought he killed Drax.
I did too. Drax and Mantis. Yeah, mm-hmm. I thought so too. I was like, holy crap! Already two more got that. But
Bubblegum.
Yeah.
If I learn nothing else about Thanos, it's he loves bubbles.
He does love bubbles. That is true.
And he's on good terms with Star-Lord, apparently.
So this is something that I picked up the second time that I did not pick up the first time. Thanos, as a character, individually, showed nothing but restraint the entire movie.
Yeah.
He could have killed all three of them. But he let them live because he wants it to not be personal. It's only until much later when Iron Man really ticks him off that he really starts going to town. And even in the not to get too far ahead, but even in the final scenes, he does exactly what he has to do to get to the stone. He doesn't kill anyone along the way, though he could have.
And probably easily, because he had the majority of the stones at the time. Yeah.
So it was kind of odd in hindsight. Thanos, they say the best villains are the heroes of their own story, but Thanos is really the main character of this movie.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I was going to actually mention that earlier, that I think Thanos is kind of like, because everything happens kind of around him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for sure. Everything happens around him and because of him.
I also love the fact that at the end, where the credits are done rolling, they don't say the Avengers will return, they say Thanos will return.
Yeah. Where it's kind of like I'm almost thinking that's the Russo brothers nodding at us. Hey, yeah, the movie was about him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where does that leave us? That leaves us off at Thor getting his new hammer,
Stormbreaker,
which we all know is also
Beta Ray Bill's hammer,
which I thought was pretty cool too.
Oh, but before I want to talk about like that part. I thought the conversation between Rocket and Thor was like the most touching and saddest part of the whole movie for me.
Yeah, because it and
I'll go second saddest for me, but
yeah, because I think like you think of the people that like Thor has lost. So, I mean,
everyone,
you know, his father died in the previous movie.
His mother died.
He watched his brother get killed in front of him. Half the people,
according to him. That's the scene where he mentions half the people.
Yeah, and like, you know, his mother died. He had to kill his sister.
Yeah.
Jane Foster broke up with them.
Yeah.
But I mean, but I think Chris Hemsworth did a like just great job just showing that emotion that he was sad. But you know how Thor always kept always be trying to. But I'm Thor. Yeah. But you could tell he was just like, I lost my hammer. I mean, people are just
and it truly was a touching and great line where he's like, I've been alive for 1500 years and killed twice as many people. And each one of them wanted to kill me, and I'm alive because fate wants me to be here. And Rocket's like, what if you're wrong? And he's like, I have nothing left to lose.
Right.
So
yeah.
It was a very touching.
It was, yeah, for that, sure. Yeah.
This movie actually had fans, I'm sure, of the comic books and fans of the movies, a lot of touching scenes.
No, lots. Yeah. Filled with feels.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. That was, I definitely agree. And it just, And he got a new eye. Yeah, and I didn't expect that either.
From Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Right. I didn't even think of it.
Yeah, I didn't think about it either. And I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. And
we should have watched it first.
Yeah.
You may want to watch
that. See, that's why I think just those interactions with those guys just made it. Man. And just and like that there, though, like the backstory with Thor, too. Like, you wouldn't have gotten that unless there had been like all those movies before, too, you know, so add so much to it.
And you know what made this movie really successful? 100% more Peter Dinklage.
Yes. Unexpected Dinklage.
Yes.
Right?
I was like, wait, is that? It is.
It is. Who better to play a giant dwarf?
Yeah, right. That's exactly it. And I didn't even think that they were going to ever show like that type of sequence where they're making the hammer or whatever, or even that, hey, this is where Mjolnir was made.
Mm-hmm.
But that's such a cool thing too, I thought. I was like, man, that's really, really pretty awesome, I thought. That whole, you know.
Yeah, the thing that's kind of odd though is like what made Mjolnir so powerful, because in my head it was not just that it was forged there by the perfect forgers, but it was also the power of Odin imbuing it.
Yeah.
Like, what imbued Stormbreaker with so much power?
Peter Dinklage
and his metal hands now.
Right.
Well, maybe it's the whole fact that Thor now can more channel his power more. Mjolnir, you know, Odin gave him that for him to
basically training wheels for his powers, kind of.
And then I have other questions. Can anyone else pick up Stormbreaker? Or is it like Mjolnir?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have to be worthy?
That's a good question.
Yeah. No, I think you'd be able to pick up Stormbreaker. I don't think it's the same as Mjolnir. Yeah.
He didn't whisper into it like,
Sweet man. With the sweet Groot arm helmet or a handle.
Oh, dude. Yeah, I thought that was so cool, too.
Yeah. For a second, I was like, oh, my gosh, Groot's going to become the handle? Is there going to kill Groot because of the handle?
right.
It's like, that's a really long handle. It seems unnecessary.
But yeah, I thought that was such a cool thing too.
I love that Thor speaks Groot.
Yeah, that was great.
It was an elective on Asgard.
Yeah, it's an elective. Yeah. I thought that was awesome.
You speak Groot? Yeah.
Which later on, this is my friend, the tree. And I am Groot. And then I'm
Steve Rogers. Yes, I am Steve Rogers. It's fantastic.
Oh, so good.
Oh, it is so good. Man.
I also back to that scene where Thor is holding is getting ready to hold open the thing. He's like, "It will kill you, only if I die."
yes, only if I die.
Yes,
that's the
way it works, or whatever. Yeah. It was so
that is good, awesome. I kind of hope shows up again.
So then that kind of leads us to
the Soulstone
Nebula.
Yeah.
He had Nebula in the ship.
Yeah.
And because of, which that was a really cool shot scene.
Yeah.
Where it looked like she was together and comes around to the side and she was taken apart.
Yeah. And that kind of was like because I recently read Infinity Gauntlet again, just to kind of,
yeah,
you know, bring that back and make it fresh in my mind. Because he kind of does something like that to Nebula in that comic, mm-hmm. too, yeah. And I completely forgot about.
Oh yeah, that was, know? Like, yeah,
yeah. So, so yeah, I thought that was like, oh, okay, that's a pretty good nod to that, you know.
Yeah,
a little different in the sense that he was doing that to kind of get information from her. In the comic, was more or less just to torture her, but. Yeah.
But I gotta say, like, Nebula's a lot more strong-willed than Gamora is.
Yeah, but she always lost the fights.
I understand that, but you gotta give Nebula credit for she would rather die than give up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
I like the Nebula character too.
I mean, I like them both. I just when I look at that, because Gamora, like, no, and that's probably showing her compassion and stuff that makes them the difference. But it's also kind of like,
but Gamora was also willing to die before letting Thanos get his hands on the Soul Stone.
But then she took him right to it.
Yeah,
right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's like.
But she had already told him where it was at that point. She's,
yeah.
But that's and that's the thing. I was kind of like, there's no one really, no one in peril except for Nebula, for you to tell him where the stone is. I mean,
yeah. She didn't want to see her sister suffer or whatever.
Well, and maybe she knows what path that leads down. First, it's going to be Nebula, and then.
I mean, Star Lord. We'll
just go get Star Lord.
Yeah. That's true. So, Thanos is willing to do whatever.
The one guy I was with was like, why did he take Gamora with him? You know, because after she told him where it was, my thought to that was in every other movie, you leave them alone in prison. That's when they escape. And
Yeah.
And the fact, she's. You know, deadliest woman in the universe, and the fact that if she's lying to him, right?
Yeah.
So, did anyone else, for a brief second, think we were getting a representation of death?
I did think it was death at first, and then Wes was, my son was actually like, "It's Red Skull," and I'm like, "Holy crap! It is the Red Skull! What an awesome freaking, you know,
no, the throwback best part? Type
thing."
They couldn't. Hugo Weaving wouldn't do it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's.
Is it somebody else?
It's a guy from The Walking Dead that does all the impressions. Ross Marquand.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. I was thinking it was because I.
It sounds just like him.
It does sound just like him. Really? That's because I thought Hugo Weaving had a contract with Marvel to where he would be.
He said after the release of Captain America that he would never play that role again.
Really?
Wow.
Wow. That's crazy. You'd think he'd want to play that role.
I don't know if he wasn't happy with the performance of the movie or something.
Maybe. That's. I thought it was so cool that, and maybe kind of possibly leading into like, oh, maybe they can bring Red Skull back, possibly.
That's kind of what I hope for.
Yeah.
I think I got spoiled.
You got spoiled?
Yeah, because when I seen Red Skull, I was like, hey, they did the exact same thing on... Avengers Assemble on Disney XD.
Oh, did they?
Did they?
Yeah. That's how I was like, they did this before.
I've watched some of that, but not a
whole
lot.
I've watched some of that too, and I
it was like two. It was like 2 years ago, and I was like, because you know they were like all of a sudden the red, and it was like Thanos was coming, and the Red Skull shows up like with like the stone or something like that, trying to get the stone. I was like, I see. It was cool. I only seen this before.
That's crazy. But I just thought it was so cool that they, you know, they connected Captain America First Avenger to this movie, even. Mm-hmm. And just, man, just making all that whole universe just so much more awesome. Just tying it all together. Just, man. Yeah. I was like blown away when they did that scene. Just because of like, I'm like, holy crap.
And it was, I thought it was, it's powerful the way they did that, where he told him that he would have to, you know, you have to sacrifice something you love. Whereas Gamora takes this as a ha ha, you don't love anything.
Yeah.
Where I think everybody in the audience caught on pretty quick. Oh, yeah. There's one thing that he loves.
Yeah.
And then they, you know, then the Red Skull gets to actually spell it out, and it's like the tears aren't for himself or whatever.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The tears aren't for.
And you couldn't run fast enough.
Yeah. Well,
he can teleport. So
that would have been my thing too.
He could have just froze her. Could have done.
Yeah, maybe. I was kind of like, you have fought. I'm like, so you're not gonna fight now. You're just I think at that point, I think it brought back her little kid, her little girl.
And
that's why she didn't become the deadliest woman in the universe at that point in time, because she reverted back to that little girl.
Yeah.
That first met.
And I mean, and before all of that stuff, we were guessing, like, where's the Soul Stone at? Oh, yeah, it's Wakanda. It's gotta be in Wakanda, right? Mm-hmm. That's gotta be where it's at.
That's why they're in Wakanda.
Yeah, but no.
And again, by the way, she tries to kill herself.
Yes.
Bubbles.
Yep. And you're right. Thanos loves bubbles. So, yes. So I guess that brings us back to, I guess,
Titan.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Where our heroes are waiting for Thanos to return.
Yes. And we got to see that interaction with Doctor Strange, Iron Man,
mm-hmm.
Spider-Man,
and Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Minus Gamora.
Yeah.
And Rocket.
And Groot. Yeah. I liked the whole thing where we're seeing Doctor Strange kind of figure out, oh, I'm going to go and use the time gem and look at these different potential futures. And was it like 14 million or something?
14,605,000.
Yes, there you go. 14,605,000.
Oh, my one friend thought it was a missed opportunity not to say 14,616,000 to do the 616, just to get that out there.
Oh, yeah, that is a missed opportunity. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I like how he's like, there's only one path where they win, and that whole interaction between them trying to get the glove off of Thanos,
mm-hmm.
I thought that was awesome.
Yeah,
that was probably one of my favorite scenes in the movie. I thought just how every hero's power and ability was used in that, you know.
There were so many good things. Yeah.
Yeah.
There were so many good things. Like just in general, like Star-Lord shooting him or doing everything.
Yeah.
And then just giving him the finger and falling backwards into the Doctor Strange thing.
Yep, that's awesome.
So much good stuff going on there.
Yeah.
And while this is going on, because now we've got two concurrent things, Wakanda has happened.
Yeah.
Is happening where the rest of the heroes are attempting to take the Soul Stone out, and it's be able to swap back and forth between the two climactic battles for a half hour, and you never get bored.
Right. Yeah. Oh man. And they're too epic.
Yeah.
Like, man, there's just
so much amazing stuff going on.
Oh, absolutely.
But Sam,
yes.
Have you ever been so mad at someone that you threw a moon at them?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I do a star, but not a moon.
That's a
small star.
That's a whole other level of mad.
Right?
You just throw a moon at me.
Oh man, and then just even too, like at that point where, you know, Star-Lord confronts Thanos as they're trying to get the glove off of Mantis, has kind of got him.
And they're realizing that Gamora is dead.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are like, well, Star-Lord ruined everything. But I go back to, this is the only one that worked.
Yes, right.
So this has to happen. And that's completely in character.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's already went crazy on his dad when he found out his mom was dead. I mean, we know that he's run by his emotions. He was a kid when he was stolen by space pirates, so everybody behaved completely in character,
yes,
for good or for bad, the whole movie, and it drove the plot, them behaving the way they should have behaved.
Absolutely the characters were totally the way they are in the comic book, you know. They, like, you know, unlike, you know, some of the characters in Batman versus Superman.
Mm-hmm.
All that's, you know, they had moments where they didn't feel like the characters.
I mean, if DC had made this when they got to Titan and it came down to the fight, Howard Stark would have held Tony Stark back and walked up and confronted Thanos on his own.
Yes.
The way yeah. Superman's dad confronted the tornado.
Right.
Though he was ill-equipped.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah,
we're not going to talk about that.
But, yeah, I'm sorry.
Let's go back to Wakanda.
Rick keeps bringing us down.
No. Let's go back to Wakanda.
I want to live in Wakanda.
I know, right? Does Wakanda not seem like the best place on Earth?
Y'all really want me to touch on that? y'all really want me to... That could have been.
I don't know. But the, like them just getting together, seeing all of them line up and having the shield up and aliens coming, and it's a pretty awesome scene.
Yeah.
And then what they end up having to do to open, you know. So T'Challa has to open up just a crack in the shield to let them in so they don't sneak around in the back.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
My friend brings this up. Why couldn't they open it, let some in, close it for a minute? Open, let some in, close. First off, you'd probably kill a few just from the opening and closing. Yeah. It would help, you know, keep them focused in an area, and yet at the same time, maybe not let them all in at once, you know, like you tend to be doing.
Maybe I don't know. We're not really exactly sure how that shield technology
fair works. Enough.
Yeah. So. I'm still trying to figure out how the other guy got in. The one bad guy got to the palace where Vision was. How did he get in? Who attacked Vision?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah. But I haven't yet logically thought about how he possibly did.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't at the front of the line because they ask about him.
Yeah.
And that she makes it seem like he's dead.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe they teleported him in somehow.
That could be, yeah.
Through some technology we didn't see that you could use, like, on a single person, but not an army of weird alien things.
Yeah.
Well, it seemed like they were more or less scared of Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So.
I like the scene where... Scarlet Witch finally does come out.
Yeah.
And fights and gets knocked down. And the one, what's her name?
I know her name alien. In real life is Denai, but I don't know. I don't know her name in the movie.
Oh, the female alien?
Proxima Midnight?
Yeah, Proxima Midnight. That's it. The, when she's like, you're going to die here alone. And then you hear Black Widow.
Yeah. Oh, but she's not alone.
And you're like, ooh. And then you see, oh, man, it's.
Girlfight!
Yeah, right.
It was like the ultimate girlfight.
What's hilarious is somebody in the theater screamed that exact same thing. When I was there, somebody goes, girlfight! And I was like, oh, man.
You gotta say it, man.
Yeah.
I do like, too, she gets up there and gets all chopped up or whatever, and there's blue on Black Widow's face and costume. She's like, that was gross.
Yeah. I guess the awesome thing is I saw on Twitter earlier that I guess they're moving forward with a Black Widow movie.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I guess they've interviewed like 65 different directors for the movie. So they're taking their time making sure
they get the right fit.
Yeah.
So everything seems to be going okay on Wakanda until the things come up underneath.
Oh yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's when Scarlet Witch has to leave.
Yes.
Why didn't they let those things out to begin with? You would think that
they would have let,
especially when everyone was way close to the wall. You know.
Yeah.
Hey, we'll just do that first.
Maybe they take time to charge up or something. I don't know.
Regardless,
Yeah.
Hey, they had a plan. It seemed to work out for them.
Yeah,
it did.
Most of them. Anyway.
Yeah, for the most part.
I also like when Scarlet Witch comes out and just trashes everything, and she's like, "Why wasn't she out here all along?"
Right. Yeah. What about Bruce Banner not being able to turn into the Hulk?
I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty good too. But totally like in the trailer.
You see him running with them in the movies and the Iron or the Hulkbuster.
So I wonder at what point did they decide, oh, this is what we're gonna do? Or if they just decided that, hey, we'll throw this in
the trailer. I think they threw things into the trailers. They messed up things with Infinity Stones, so you couldn't tell how much he had at any given time. They changed a lot in the trailers.
Yeah. That's good though. I think because it didn't give anything
away. Get you excited, but still.
Yeah. I agree.
And I think people read into the trailers now so much.
Exactly. And I think it's brilliant too that they didn't have him come out and kind of showed like a lot of that, the, you know, the multiple personality aspects of Bruce Banner and the
Hulk. I think it leads to a potential where they could fuse the two a little more.
Yeah.
So that you got more like the Peter David Hulk.
Yeah. Where like Doc Samson got the two to personalities that kind of agree to come together.
Okay, Hulk, if you come out, I'll stay over the personality for a while or whatever.
Right, yeah.
Next movie. Yeah. I don't know if that'll happen, but
Or maybe I was thinking more of maybe like smart Hulk. I was thinking of, you know, Hulk by himself is like afraid because, you know, he's never got a thrashing like that.
Right, exactly.
And Banner's like, hey, if we work together, you know, I'll do the strategy and you just do the smashing and morph into smart Hulk.
Yeah.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot they could do with that, and I like that they did that.
Yeah,
I thought that added a whole other little.
Well, because let's just be honest, Thanos way overpowers the Hulk, but do the rest of them?
Yeah,
not really.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
I mean, it's a way to keep us. It's a way to stack the odds against the heroes and make it a little bit more close.
That's true. And so I guess, what about the appearance of Thor and Rocket just showing up there? I was like, because I didn't expect that.
They really
awesome.
Thor leveled up the last couple movies.
He did for sure. Because I liked Bruce Banner's response too. He's like, oh, you guys are gonna get it now.
Yeah, like, oh, you guys are so screwed.
We got Thor.
Yeah,
I love the interaction between between Rocket and the Winter Soldier.
I know. I knew exactly what you were about to say.
Yeah. I'm going to get that arm.
How much for the gun? Yeah. It's not for sale. How much for the arm? Oh, I'm going to get that arm.
Someone had mentioned to me, and they thought this would be funny. Well, let's get to that part in the middle of it. I'll come back to that. Go ahead.
Okay, come back to that.
So yeah, him lifting up Rocket and just
that's awesome too. Yep,
that was like a callback from the Guardians of the Galaxy in the prison scene,
right?
Oh yeah, for sure, that's true.
So now we're left with what? We're left on Titan, where they're battling it out still. And then
Doctor Strange is going full force on Thanos, trying to
hold him back with the crimson bands of Sidorak.
Never
thought I'd see those in a movie.
Oh, I know, right? That was.
But so Iron Man does that all that crazy stuff to Thanos and hits him, and Thanos just going, all of that for a drop of blood. And you're right. Like, oh, yeah.
God. Yeah, you're like, God. Yeah. Yep. And I liked Iron Man's armor in it. In this
movie. The nanotech armor? Yeah.
I thought that was pretty sweet. I thought that was really cool. They got to that point with his armor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And when Thanos rips off that portion of his armor and stabs him with it, I thought he was dead for sure.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, my God.
Oh, how ironic. Man. Iron Man's armor is what kills him.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then even then, Thanos, you know, how much did it take for Thanos to actually do that? I mean,
right? Yeah. Before, yeah. And well, and even then too, like he says,
how much he respected him and hopes that, you know, they remember him.
Right. Yeah. Right. I was like, man, that's, you know.
And then Doctor Strange just gives him the time gem.
Yeah.
And it seemed to have worked with the crowd because there were so many people. You're like, why would he give that up?
Yeah.
And you're like, because it's the one way that they win.
Exactly. Right.
I think we've discussed this.
Yeah. Yep.
Exactly. What part did you not understand?
It's the one way. If you spare his life, I'll give you. Yep. That was good. That was good. And the so I guess also then, so like after that happened, Thanos leaves because he's got the time gem, and then he needs one more.
He's one more. It's Vision.
Yeah, and it's Vision.
And they have made it clear that when it comes down to it, the Scarlet Witch is going to have to. How powerful is the Scarlet Witch?
Right.
Because she's not. She's destroying an Infinity Gem and holding back a Thanos with five of the six Infinity Gems.
Yeah, yeah, that is true. Yeah.
Because that I mean, that's. That those are the, and we'll get to that in a second. So I'll wait on that. You're in the same boat. Right. So she destroys the Infinity Gem and kills Vision.
Yeah.
As Thanos is walking, well, Thanos just walks through everybody there.
That's yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Captain America.
Oh. Yeah.
Thanos, I think, was being nice to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like. Oh, he's stronger than a normal guy. Okay.
Yeah.
Am I the only one who thought when Thanos punched Captain America, that was the punch
that killed him?
Yeah.
For a second,
I did too.
And then I was like, "Oh wait,
yeah." Because speech, because the punch sounded extra brutal. Yeah. You know when it happened, you're like, "Oh." Yeah. And I mean, you know, it's got to be quite a punch to knock out Steve Rogers too. Right. You know, but I mean,
At first, I was like, is that the punch? Because it was just when, you know, hold it. Yeah. So I'm like, maybe that's their definition of the speech, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, so, Vision's dead.
Vision's dead.
Thanos apparently
thwarted, uses the Infinity Gauntlet, which I thought was cool that they showed him do it a different way.
Yeah, yeah.
The time gem. So the Scarlet Witch, who just killed her boyfriend... Yeah. Gets to see him resurrected and a part of his head taken out.
Yeah. Yeah. Die again.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So that's, yeah.
But Thor to the rescue.
Yeah. Which I didn't expect that either. But that was pretty badass.
How powerful is Stormbreaker?
Right? Right? I know, because I didn't expect that either.
Because he was with all five of them.
Yeah.
And then, or all six.
Freaking and embedded it's still... into his chest. And should have went for the head.
That was such a good line.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Like, you think he's going to be like, why would you do this? I was so close or whatever. It's like, why didn't you go for the head?
Yeah. And... yeah. That was, man. And then we get the thumb snap.
The snap. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which I'd been talking so much about just wanting that. That my wife turned to me and was like, you got your snap. Are you happy?
So when the snap happens, do you guys think that the Infinity Gauntlet was destroyed?
No.
I think it was destroyed. It appeared to be very messed up.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like very disintegrated or whatever.
Because it looked like Thanos got a little bit scarred from it, too. Like,
assumed that there was a lot of power or whatever, but it seemed to have been... It didn't seem completely destroyed to me.
Yeah.
Just...
Because that's what I was kind of wondering after that happened, you know, because... Well, we all know, and here's the big spoiler, half of everybody dies.
Yeah. Did you notice Thor's armor, too? Like, when Thanos snaps his, Thor's armor, like, goes, like, black.
Really?
Oh, did it really?
Yeah.
I did not notice
it. I mean, it's, like, darker than what it usually looks like throughout the whole movie.
Maybe just the energy of those things together.
Maybe.
They just put out a lot of things that... disintegrated non-god item.
Yeah. Because I looked, I was like, his armor just went more black. It's like black. And that's when he's like, what did you do?
Yeah, what did you do?
Yeah.
That was, and then I think just that everything's pretty quiet. There was no score or anything. You see.
Yeah, the fact that there was no music behind that made it a lot more powerful. And then the fact that when people started realizing what was happening in the crowd, I don't know what it was like at your guys' theater. It was utter silence.
Oh, yeah.
And the credits. Utter silence for the credits of the movie, waiting for an after credit scene. Of just watching people like taking it in. And then every time there's two heroes on a screen, people are like, oh no.
Yeah, which one? Someone's gonna go. And then, And Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, to me, is the saddest moment. Yeah. Only because he had spider sense and he knew it was coming.
Yeah, yeah.
So
he's like, I don't want to die.
I don't want to go.
And I guess Tom Holland improv'd that. I read that he improved that whole scene. Like, they didn't expect him to do that, and he did that, and then...
And then his final thought to Tony wasn't, you know, whatever, it was, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, yeah.
I was brutal.
Yeah, I thought that was... Yeah. But then...
And Vision, actually, though, when he was dying, too... I didn't notice what he was saying the first time, but the second time when I noticed that he said, I'm sorry twice. And then I love you to Wanda. I was like, oh, that's pretty sad too.
Yeah. Yeah. As she's killing him.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty. And then,
maybe it's a monster, but I think I it was a sad moment, but I don't think I was too sad about Spider-Man.
What?
I mean,
I mean, it,
I know, cause I knew. I think in my mind, because like movie wise, it was like I kind of knew they had to do it. It's that movie part of me like knew as far as like a great storyteller, which that was, because if you're gonna get people's emotions really, really good,
Tony has to lose
Spider-Man.
Oh no,
Spider-Man is the heart of the Marvel universe.
Yeah, but I think everybody anticipated it was, you know. Again, everyone was thinking Steve Rogers or Tony Stark was going to go.
Right.
But it is.
What they did is they was genius.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who's left?
Yeah, right.
The original Avengers. The
original Avengers, yep.
And this is how I want the second movie to open. I want it to open because, you know, you get Thanos in front of looking out at the sunset over his fresh universe or whatever it was he said
early
on in the movie. I want a scene very similar to that where you think maybe it's back to him, but it's actually Hawkeye's farm.
Oh yeah,
and he watches his entire family disappear.
That's what I think is going to end up happening. I think,
and then it brings him back in.
I think that's going to bring him back.
That would be so sweet.
I'm wondering, with Ant-Man too. Now that Ant-Man and the Wasp, I mean, they're going to be in it at some point. I'm wondering if that movie is going to take place before these events.
I think it takes before, during, and after.
You think
I think I read that. My guess would be it will be taking place concurrently, because they mentioned he couldn't be there because he did a plea bargain.
So
he couldn't be part of whatever groups. So they'll have their movie, and maybe it ends with one of them.
With one of them disappearing.
Yeah.
That's what I was kind of thinking, too. I was thinking that they would do something like that. Maybe even Hank Pym, maybe. You know, something like that. I don't know. That movie's looking really good too.
I think they might have Ant-Man disappear. I think they're gonna have the Wasp.
That would be cool.
That would be cool.
But one or the other, I don't care. I think it's a better story if one or the other goes.
Yeah. But that, in a way though, they have to kind of refill the hero ranks with heroes.
Yeah.
So even if both of them make it, you know, and they get rid of Hank Pym or something like that, just to kind of.
Because I mean, honestly, the only people they have left are the original Avengers, Rocket Raccoon, and Nebula, right?
Yeah.
Is there anyone else? I mean, War Machine, but I count him kind of with the originals.
Yeah, because I mean, he's
been around for so long.
The first Iron Man movie, just not as a War Machine. But
wish they would have kept Falcon instead. I like John Cheadle, but
I'm not going to disagree with you.
Yeah,
I like Falcon's one of my favorite characters in the movies.
I like him. I like him too. I like Don Cheadle.
I mean, I like War Machine and stuff.
I'm indifferent on both Don Cheadle and War Machine in general. Within the movies, Don Cheadle seems like a fine person, whatever. But in real life, when they were walking out at Wakanda, and Bruce Banner's like, "Should I bow?" He's like, "Yeah."
That was.
And then he does. He's like, "Why would you do that?"
That was awesome. That was really good. That was really good. But yeah, I mean they gotta fill them, and I'm assuming Captain Marvel.
Yeah, it'll be Captain Marvel.
Well, how can you not assume that? Yeah. That was the ending of the movie,
right? And that's so I mean those are gonna be the new characters.
You had to leave Nebula alive to get Tony Stark home.
Yeah, because
nobody else knew where he was.
Exactly, and we're assuming that she came there because she came there separately.
She came there on a ship.
So
she said, "Meet me on."
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
to Mantis. And I'm assuming you leave Rocket open because he's a, you know,
space.
And a weapon maker.
Yeah. And a rabbit.
And a rabbit.
Apparently.
Yeah. And you get them to space.
A trash bandit.
The Trash Bandit, yeah.
Yeah, leave Cap alive.
Yeah.
He's got to make the speech. He does.
Yes.
Yeah. I feel that the next movie, I feel like the half of the people are probably trapped in the Stillstone.
I'm thinking it's something like that.
And too. I assume that it will demand a sacrifice. And then the question becomes, this is a way to get people out of contracts.
Yeah.
If they don't want to come back. You know, in the case of Cap jumping on the grenade like he does in...
Yeah, and every... Yeah, and in First Avenger.
Yeah.
It's the kind of guy Cap is.
Though, honestly, my money now would be on Iron Man dying over Captain America, which it wasn't necessarily the way...
Because you could do it to bring back Spider-Man.
But only because Chris Evans has publicly stated that he's done after Avengers 4, and everything that they have done, with the exception of an interview from a year ago, has been to throw people off of what's coming.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I almost wondered, too, like, a lot of these things, like, you know, they're going to say this, but then,
I mean, right.
On how many Bond films did Sean Connery do after he said he wasn't going to do anymore?
Right, but you know? And they're keeping things tight-lipped. The other thing... I forgot what I was going to say.
Oh.
That was so weird. Like, I had a thought, and it disappeared as it does. It must have been 50% of my thoughts.
There you go. Oh, man. Killed by the end. Because I was, you know, Tony sacrificing himself to bring Spider-Man back would kind of make sense. He'd feel responsible for his death, too. So I could see that kind of happening.
And it's also, like, a play on the reverse of... Iron Man 3, because Tony had the dream that he's the only one who survived.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And if he dies and everyone else survives, it's just kind of the reverse.
Yeah.
But then Piper won't get her wedding.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Plus, like someone else mentioned, I don't even know who it was. They could leave. They could make Tony the voice. AI's voice.
They could totally.
And so
that.
Then you can keep Robert Downey Jr.
forever, really.
Quipping.
Yeah, they could do that.
Oh, I mean, they did kind of in the comic, recently. Hmm. He made himself an AI. He's back now.
That would be kind of interesting to see.
And then we could have Falcon, Captain America.
That.
Or Bucky.
Yeah.
Either one.
Well, I like them both.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. Because they're both... I mean, who's to say we can have a separate movie with each of them having Captain America for a period of time?
Yeah.
I mean, now, like, literally, it just feels like I think Marvel can do almost just, like, whatever they want with these movies.
They can do a hard reset because of the Infinity Stones.
Right, yeah.
That was... nothing would make you happier, me happier, if at the end of Infinity War think they've set everything right and they go back and Avengers Tower isn't there. It's got a giant 4 on it.
Yes. That would be cool.
My thing would have, I thought about this and my thing would have been after they, you know, defeated Thanos with the Infinity Stones, whatever, like the glove is like, the gauntlet is like on the ground on Earth somewhere, and all of a sudden you just see Doom walk up and pick it up.
Oh no, that would be
that cool. Was like
I take that too.
Yeah. It's like,
but I love Dr. Doom to a ridiculous degree.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's the next big bad?
I don't know. Well, this is what I was kind of thinking too. If they bring back everybody because of Thanos wiping them out and they use the Infinity Gauntlet or whatever, I mean, that's a perfect excuse to bring the Red Skull back in some way.
Yeah, but I don't think he's a big bad anymore. He's a big bad for a single hero, not for Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. But I could see maybe there being like a team up, possibly. Maybe.
I want a real Galactus.
Like a Galactus would be good.
Galactus would be good. Or Magnus. What's his name?
Magus.
Magus, yeah.
Yeah.
Adam Warlock's
doppelganger or whatever. Yeah. And speaking of which,
that's someone else who's
somebody who could be back or could be in the next movie.
Oh, I don't think they're bothering. No. I think they put him in Guardians as a spoiler or as an Easter egg.
Yeah.
like the same way they did Howard the Duck.
Oh, really? You don't think?
If they were going to bring him back, they would have brought him. They should have brought him in by now.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they're saving him for Guardians of the Galaxy 3, Volume 3.
Well, I probably think it maybe has to do with, since Novacore has been destroyed, I think other places have been destroyed too, and maybe when they're traveling, because Novacore was the police of a particular sector, maybe while going to take on Thanos, they run into that planet with Adam Warlock there.
In his cocoon.
Yeah.
Thing. I don't know.
Supposedly the Skrulls are at the center of Captain Marvel?
Really?
Oh, see, that's another big bad.
I thought that was a Fantastic Four character, and I thought that's
originally, what they could use him before. Originally, that's why they didn't use him in the first Avengers.
Yeah, that's...
They used the other version, but apparently they're okay with it somehow.
Huh, interesting.
And
I guess in Captain Marvel...
Because they're making a Captain Marvel where the primary villain was Skrulls.
Is that
Kree versus Skrulls?
See, I thought it was really. It's going to be that storyline, the Kree versus Skrulls.
Well, no, it's not necessarily going to be. They're going to do something, and I don't know what. But I know Jude Law is Mar-Vell.
Oh, okay.
And I'm assuming he's going to be dying.
Yeah.
Probably paying homage to that, and somehow Brie Larson's character will be taking over the mantle of Captain Marvel. Amping it up. Takes place in the 1990s. Samuel L. Jackson will be younger in it.
Yeah, and Coulson will be back. And I guess Ronan's going to be back, too.
Makes sense.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, he's Kree. He's Kree.
Kree, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really curious to see what to do with that. And I guess Kevin Feige was saying that, or Feige, I guess it's Feige.
Yeah.
Was saying that, Captain Marvel is going to be the most powerful character that they've introduced thus far.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see that kind of character on screen and see how they do it.
So she gets a butt kicked by Rogue.
That was when she was Miss Marvel.
Yeah.
She's a captain now.
Yeah, she is a captain.
I mean, if you put a Miss America in a fight against Captain America, who wins?
That's true. That is true. That's a valid argument.
I remember when Steve Rogers was Miss America.
Yeah. I think there is actually a Miss America now, superhero.
Is it really?
Is there?
I think she's a there is. She can fly, she has super strength. She's Hispanic. Yeah.
Yeah. She does well in the bathing suit portion of the contest.
Well.
Ooh. Does she?
She does, but she doesn't like our team. So
there you go. Okay. All right. Well, I guess do we have any other tidbits to add? I guess at I mean, we kind of touched on it a little bit at the end, the ending after.
Oh, it was screen. Yeah, just Nick Fury.
Go, mother.
Yeah.
And then someday they'll get an entire F-bomb out.
Right. Yeah. And the old 90s pager, 90-ish looking pager.
Which. At least he had to go to his car to get.
Yeah.
I didn't have it on him. Tony Stark did.
Yeah.
Well, I think the one thing I wanted, someone had mentioned this to me, or a friend of mine, would have been funny, but it would have took people out of the mood of, out of the somber mood of when everyone was being disappeared and turned to ash. Like, Winter Soldier would have turned to ash except for his arm, and Rocket would have picked it up and said,
I think for sure. After the credits are over, Rocket's picking up that arm.
Told you I'd get this arm.
Yeah. I was surprised they didn't. I was kind of thinking something like that too.
But it couldn't ruin the atmosphere. But I was like, that would have been hilarious.
That would have been hilarious. So I guess the next couple movies are coming: Ant-Man and Wasp,
right? Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel's in March, and then
nothing until Infinity War. Yeah. The next or Avengers 4.
But that's not...
That's April.
Yeah. So.
There's no Star Wars movie after Solo. So Disney front-loaded their movies for whatever reason.
I wonder why they did it that way. You figured they'd hold out a little bit for... You know, I hate to say this, but the Solo movie, I'm ho-hum about it. I'm, like, not really amped to go see it. I want to be, but I think primarily it's because I don't know about the guy that's playing Han Solo.
Yeah, that,
That's the only wild card for me. Like, I think, you know,
Dong Lover is perfect.
Perfect for Lando. You can't. I'd rather just be him, more just about him than
Solo. Yeah, I would take him.
You know,
and there was talks that this might be the first of three Solo movies.
Really?
That's a rumor. I have to take it for what it's worth.
I guess with me, I'm not even kind of worried about the actor, because from what I could see, he seems all right. I guess the whole thing about Han Solo was you didn't know. You just like, all right, that was just the legend of Han Solo.
Yeah.
I am interested, though, to seeing how Chewie kind of like just becomes a really tough dude in this movie. From the previews that I've seen, Chewie isn't, you know, just hitting people over the head. Chewie is taking people and body slamming them, like, head first into the ground. So I'm like, that's pretty hardcore.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm interested in seeing.
Yeah, I mean, I'll see it. It's just probably not going to be an opening night thing for me.
Yeah.
I'm not making special plans for it like I would.
And that makes me kind of sad in a way, because Han Solo is like one of my favorite characters from that whole franchise. I know, and it's just... I don't know. It just seems like, and maybe this is kind of like the first time that they've kind of recast one of the characters too.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe that's the difference for me. I don't know. But all right. I guess that's it.
That's it.
So that means we liked Infinity Wars.
Oh, I love it. I think we more than liked it. But
it's one of my favorites, honestly. Especially considering it's the first half of a movie.
Yeah,
exactly.
If they finish strong, man.
I was trying to be as cautious going into the movie as possible. I didn't want my expectations to be too high. I mean, it's hard not to have the expectations high for a movie like this. But I tell you what, I think all my expectations were met.
Yeah.
It's one of the most entertaining movies I've seen in a long time.
Right. They managed to showcase everyone. Yeah.
Every character was given screen time that, you know, it's like it was just done so well. Yeah. And
even Wong.
Wong served his purpose. It's like, where are you going? Time gems is gone. No one's protecting the sanctorum.
I'm gonna go.
I don't know how he's getting lunch though.
Yeah, you're right.
With his 200 rupees,
right?
Only person I felt bad for was Happy. We need to see Happy.
Happy. That's true.
Okay, but he showed up in Spider-Man, so he's okay.
Yeah. There's, by the way, someone else pointed out this mistake. It's more mistake, I guess, on Spider-Man Homecoming's fault. But they showed the beginning of the cleaning up, the Vulture's crew cleaning up after the whatever, and then it cuts 8 years later to the events of Homecoming. But Iron Man says repeatedly that 6 years ago is whenever the attack was.
Oh, really?
So if you followed that exactly, that Spider-Man Homecoming would be taking place 2 years after Infinity War, which makes no sense.
Yeah.
Oh, man, yeah. That's kind of weird.
But they've said it's the Homecoming's mistake. We'll come out with an official timeline at some point.
I'm surprised they let that slip by, because it seems like they have everything else down such a, you know, I mean, it seems like they had everything just so planned out and everything together.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Wonderful movie.
Yes, wonderful movie. Go see it if you haven't seen it. If you haven't seen it, I can't believe you're listening to this, because we just spoiled the entire film for you.
Yeah.
But
go see it again.
Go see it again.
Now you know.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening.
See ya.
Later.